Okay, let's get into Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Tezayin, the last daf, the last amud of the ninth parak, the beginning of the tenth parak, and again today's shiur is dedicated Le'ili Nishmas Chana Bas Eliyahu Aleha Hashalom, whose 25th yard site was on Shabbos, Tezayin Teves, by her son Charles Mizels. We thank the Mizels for their sponsorship of the shiurim. Okay, so we are on Kuf Tezvav Mabez. We are finishing up the ninth installment, the ninth parak of Meseches Baba Metzia, as we keep our march, a couple more days until we finish the Masechta Be'ezras Hashem. So, if you remember, we are in the Gemara is trying to parallel a machlokas between Abaya and Rava with Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. If you remember, the machlokas, the Gemara quoted between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda was how to understand the psukim. Psukim in the Torah that says one is not allowed to use as a mashkon any type of clay ochel, chevel, rechayim, barachev, kidefeshu chovel, because doing that, taking the different parts of the mills, would be taking the ochel nefesh element, which the Torah says this is our isa to take, ochel nefesh. But the question is that the Pasuk has two specific terms and then has a general term. So are we supposed to understand the general terms as including the specific terms or as separate, including everything that the specific terms do not include? So that was the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna said that if somebody takes as a mashkon the lower part of the mill or the upper part of the mill, you're going to get two isurim, the specific and the general, meaning the latter part of the Pasuk, kidefesh uchovel, is inclusive of the first part. While Rav Yehuda argues, he says, no, each one is separate, and the second phrase is just going on the other items not listed in the Pasuk. That was what the machlokas was between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, we have a similar machlokas between Abaya and Rava having to do with Karban Pesach. We know there's a mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa to roast the Karban Pesach. We're not allowed to prepare it in any other way. So the Torah says, do not prepare it by cooking it partially, no, and don't prepare it by boiling it in water, bashal mavushal, but roast it. So roasting it, if I have to roast it, that means I can't cook it, and I can't prepare it partially. So therefore, the question is, how do you understand that pasuk? So we say, maybe it's a parallel machlokas. Rava says, if I eat it when it is only partially prepared, I'm going to get two averis, two isurim, the specific and the general. So maybe it's parallel machlokas, Abaya and Rava, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. There's no parallel machlokas. By the way, we said at the end of this year, maybe the root part of the issue is how to understand lav shebeklalos, the different types of lav shebeklalos. We saw the Meiri. We discussed the machlokas between Tosfos and Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel and the Ramban in the Shirashim. How to define the problem of lav shebeklalos? Is it that it includes many? Is it that it is general? So that is the shaila that is discussed. So the Gemara said we're going to reject the parallel between these two machlokos amorayim. So let's start from there again. About six lines up from the bottom. So Amalecha Rava says Rava on Kuftes Vav Mabes. Ano Damri Afilu Krav Yehuda. Rava says, no, I, who in the context of Karban Pesach say that Lokesh Tayim, meaning the general phrase in the end of the Pasuk, also includes the specific phrase in the beginning of the Pasuk, so I can hold even like Rav Yehuda says Rava. Rav Yehuda, who said in the Machlokas regarding our issue that it does not include it. It's specific. Ad kalokam Rav Yehuda hasam. When does Rav Yehuda say, by our case of Mashkon, Ela dechi nefesh hu chovel, lo mashper b'chayv arachev? Because I don't think that the second part sounds like it includes the first part. Specifically by Mashkon. Hilkach. I think it's adding on. I don't think it's including also what was said already. But kiim sliyesh, that for sure, what roasted means, it can't be cooked and it can't be nah. So says Rava, what else would that mean? Of course, that has to mean to teach me that you'd be chayav other isurim. Shvami no lalav. So that's on the one hand. The Abaya Amar Lecha, and Abaya would say, Ana da Amri, Afilo the Rav Huna. Abaya would say, I would say, even according like Rav Huna says. Why? What would that mean? Ad kalakam Rav Huna hasam. When does Rav Huna say over there? Meaning in our case, by Mashkon, Rav Huna says that you would get double if you take a Rechayim or Rachim, you would get two. Aveir is why there? Because that phrase is clearly extra. Why? Because you know it already, right? I know certain types of clay ochel, and now you have an extra phrase including clay ochel. So keep it the Yaseirahu, Shadye Rechayim Varachev. Throw it onto Rechayim Varachev. Because why would you exclude it? Rashi says on top. Yaseirahu, Lulav Mishum, Shar Dvarim. Vekivin the Yaseirahu Lulav, Vekasvi Stama, Shadin Erechayim Varachev. She'en Lecha Lahotziyam, Mimashma, Kinefeshu Chovel. Al Karchach. Right? So there's no reason to not include it. The specifics, and that is why we say two isurim by mashkon. Aval hacha ki im sliyeh shlav yaseiru. But in our context, by karban pesach says abaya. In that case, we would say it's not extra. Why? Because we learn the following halacha from it. You learn to teach me the following brisa. Kiyim Sli'esh is not just teaching me how, but is teaching me when. As the brisa says, Bisha'a sheyeshno b'kum achol tzli, yeshno b'pal tochal na. At the time when there is an iser da'oraisa, I'm sorry, when there is a mitzvah da'oraisa of eating tzli, that's when there's an iser of Baal Tochal Na. So when does the Isra apply? Only when the Mitzvah applies. When does the Mitzvah apply? At night. We know the Mitzvah applies at night, not during the day. That's the only carbon that we have that the shechting time and the eating time are different. Usually whenever I shecht the carbon chatas, so I can eat it the day that I shecht it and that night. And if it's a shlamim, I can eat it day, night, day. But carbon Pesach, I have to shecht it in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, and we're not allowed to eat it until the night of Erev Pesach. Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, how far into the night can one eat it? Right? Chatzos or the entire night. But that's when you violate the Isser, when you could have been Yotzei, the Mitzvah. B'shar she'eino b'kum achol tzli, eino b'bal tochol na, but at a time when you cannot be Mekayim, the Mitzvah of eating it tzli, eino b'bal tochol na. Period. Okay, so that's, so therefore it's not extra, it's teaching me a halacha, and therefore I'm not going to say that you're chayev too in the context of Karban Pesach. Two other points. So Gemara mentions here that the time period for the eating of Karban Pesach is at night, and the time for shechting the Karban Pesach is in the afternoon. So we know that is why, that's where the creation of Mincha Gedolah comes from. Right, usually Mincha is keneged the Tamid Shabbat Harabayim. Tamid Shabbat Harabayim is brought late in the day. So that's Mincha Ketana. Where do we get Mincha Gedola from? So explains the look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Mincha when he talks about Mincha time, and it's Halacha Lamais obviously quoted in the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. That because on Erev Pesach, Shachalias B'Shabbos, when you have very busy days, and you have to be able to fit all the Karban Pesachs in the afternoon, on Erev Pesach, that's when we allow you to daven Mincha even earlier. 6.5 hours into the day, Mincha Gedola. And because Mincha Gedola is allowed that day, that's when the Karban, Tabas Shabbat Abayim, is brought so early, because usually that's the last Karban brought every day. The Aseda Hashlama, that you have to bring the Karban Tamid, those are the two poles of Karbanos throughout the day, except Erev Pesach, when we have to bump up Mincha earlier. So that is why we always have the chance to daven Mincha Gedola. There is a Chizkuni in Perek Yud Beis in Sefer Shmos, come back to Beis Shem in a couple of weeks, where he discusses why the current Pesach has to be Tzli'esh. Right, Dafka Tzli is the halacha that we're learning. It has to be Tzli, it can't be Na, it can't be Mavusha. Why Tzli? And the Chizkuni, amazingly, goes through every halacha of Karban Pesach, and says that it's all about proving and disproving to the Egyptians that their God is not a God. Remember, they believed that this little sheep was a God, and that's why Yosef used his chachma to be able to separate the Jews, the Shvatim, from the Mitzrayim, because they said we're Roei Tzon, and they Roei Tzon, we worship the Tzon, and they shepherd the Tzon. That's why I kept the Jews separate in Goshen from the Mitzrayim. And the Chizkuni says that every detail of the Avoda, the Karban Pesach, was to show the Mitzrayim, now this is your God. So how do we start? For 4 days we tie the goat to our bed. What's the goat going to do when the goat is tied to our bed from the 10th of Nisan to the 14th? It's going to bah, it's going to make sounds, and the Egyptians' neighbors are going to hear the baying. Oh my gosh, Rabbi, our God is tied to the bed, and that's a real God. That's great. Why can't he get out of that? So that starts the process. And then what do? We have to roast it whole. Well, first we have to roast it. Right? If somebody's making noodles, I don't know what they're having for dinner. If somebody's having a barbecue, the whole block knows what they're having for dinner. Right? So everybody's going to know what's happening. And it's whole. It's not even cut into steaks. Because it has to be visible, it has to be clear. And when is the avodah done? Bein harbayim. In the late afternoon, when everybody's coming back from work from the fields. It's not at night, it's not in the morning where everybody's at work. It's dafka in the afternoon. Every one of these halachos are meant to undermine their belief that the goat is a the sheep is a god, and this is part of it. The tzli'esh and the wholeness and the time period and the and the and holding it beforehand. All of that, says the Chizkuni, is a larger part of what is going on here. Karban Pesach, we know in general. One more note regarding Karban Pesach, and then Ben Hashem will continue. Is it defining karban amongst the world of karbanos? We know in Hilchos Karbanos, the Rambam, in his order, Karban Pesach is first. That's the first one discussed before all other halachas of all other types of karbanos. This is first. And the Meshech Chachma discusses this at length in the context of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni in Parshas Baha'aloscha, where he discusses, among other questions, why is this the only karban that has a makeup time? Only carbon, any other carbon that you have to, has a zman kavua, you missed it, right? And now, carbon Pesach, no, a month later, right? Lama nigara. So what is so defining about this? And he also asked from the amazing medrash that Rashi quotes Allah Torah, that there is a havamina that every convert that converts to Judaism, the day he converts to Judaism, has to bring a carbon Pesach. Even if it's the middle of the summer. Well, the summer, what? Carbon Pesach. Pesach, meaning it might not have anything to do with Pesach. It has to do with what? With convert? Becoming Jewish? What does that have to do with anything? Explains the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Baaloscha. Remember, this is the carbon that was the first carbon given to us nationally. The first carbon that all of Klal Yisrael had to bring. It's the only carbon that every Jew has to eat. Right? A Kizayis. That's why that was the busiest day in the Beis HaMikdash all year. Erev Pesach. So says the Meshech Chachma, this carbon is about Hashgacha Pratis, and it's about the anti-Avodah Zarah. Similar to that Chizkuni that we just mentioned, where the Meshech Chachma goes down that path too. Ki ha-Pesach mora al ha-Hashgacha ha-Pratis asher mitzuyanim ba-Yisrael mikol ha-Amim asher hivdol bein amo b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim. Hashem separated us. Umar al-Yosu ba-Atzma Yisborach ha-Pol b'lishum imsoyim isovim. And he goes through how it directly symbolizes that idea. Af mashrish b'lev av Yisrael ki kulam shavim heim. And that we're all equal in the eyes of God. Right? Everybody brings a Karban Pesach. Bein Ashir, Bein Ani, and the same Karban. And you have to be part of groups beforehand. It's not that you have your own Karban. And no, there's no Chazi v'Shok, even though that's usually given from every Karban Shlamim to the Kohen. No, not by Karban Pesach. Nobody is higher than anyone else. We all serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is to wean us away from Avodah Zarah. And that is why a ger might have thought to be brought it. And that's why Yoshio HaMelech, when the Navi describes that he was Metahir the Beis HaMikdash from all the Avodah Zarah of the previous kings, he made a Karban Pesach. It wasn't Pesach. He brought a Karban Pesach. Why? Lo nase kapesach hazeh bimei ha-shoftim asher shoftu as Yisrael v'chol yimei malchi Yisrael malchi Yehuda. And they haven't done this in years. Why? Because that was needed at that time to wean Klal Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. And think about it historically. How many Karban Pesachs did we bring in the Midbar? Two. Year one, year two, year, then we came, once we came in, year 40. Right, why year two? Fine, one in 40. But year two, after the Cheta Egel. Says the Meshech Chachma, we needed it. Acharei she'asu Yisrael la'egel tziva Hashem Yisbarach b'shana ha'shenis la'asuz ha'pesach la'harchikam u'la'havdilam u'latara me'gulule ovedes galilam ve'evleyem v'chei b'shtas ha'arboim after Baal Pa'or and after once we went into Gilgal v'chulu. And it continues and relating to this. But anyway, it's a defining carbon. We'll talk more about it, not now. And that is part of its magic as the first carbon that we received and the first carbon that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Karbanos. Okay, but that was all brought as a parallel to our context of the Isser of Mashkon, Isser of taking a Mashkon. So we continue down. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavase de Rav Yehuda. A Brisa supports Rav Yehuda. Now we're getting back to the Machlokas. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda was the one that said you only chayev one for each specific. Right? If I do the Rechayim or the Rachev, I'm chayev one, not two. I don't get the inclusive part of the pasuk in the second half of the pasuk. So, Tanya Kavase Rav Yehuda, Chaval Zug Shel Saparim. So, if somebody takes as a mashkon, a Zug Shel Saparim. What does that mean? Usually that would mean, in other contexts in Shas, it means a scissors of a hair cutter. So this is a barber. A sapar is a barber. Zug, that's what Rashi says. Misparayim shall saparim, vein shall prakim. And really, it exists as two parts. You have a, like we have a scissors today. It's two blades that are connected to each other. Is that one kli or is that two kalim? It's two pieces that work together. So how many averis do I get if I take that as a mashkon from a loveh when I'm not supposed to? So v'kolchad kli ba'apeinavshe, Rashi says. Each one is its own entity. V'osen hamalacha bein shnehem kerechayim arachev. Just like the two parts of the mill that the Torah talks about, the grinder in the kitchen, so too, the scissors here. So the Brisa says, chaval zuk shal saparim, v'tzemed shal paros. Let's just go through with Rashi's pshat, and then we'll talk about each one of them, the controversy. V'tzemed shal paros, and the plow that goes onto the cow, chayiv shtayim. So the plow also is has different parts of it that are connected. So chayiv shtayim. So then two averes, zeba atzmo, v'zeba atzmo, in a chayiv al achas. But if you only use each one, so then one is chayiv only one each, because that is only one kli. Why would you be chayiv two for the plow? The plow, the ole that goes on the back of the neck of the cows, why would that be chayiv too? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, chaytsemet shal paros chaval, beis paros charshos. It connects two cows. Im simdon, tainonami kli ochel nefesh. The nir beinai shal ol shalem shal prakamavi. Rashi says it must be this made of two different parts. And that's why it is called two. So let's just finish the whole Gemara, and then we'll finish the Raya, and then we'll come back to the specific types of kalim being discussed. So the Raya is really from two brises together. The first brisa says that if you have this scissors, you have this all this burden that's made of two parts, so you're only chayiv. You're chayiv two if you use both of them. But you're only chayiv one if you use one of them. That already sounds like Rav Huna, because. I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda, who only says you're chayiv one. Rav Huna says you're also chayiv the inclusive. You're chayiv two by each one. Rav Yehuda says one. That's what the brisa sounds like so far. It's one each. But we have to have the other brisa first also. Because how do we know that this is exactly comparable to the case of klei ochel? V'tanya idach. Ha-chaval chazuk shal saparim v'tzemet shal paros. Yachal lo yehei chayiv ala achas. You might think you're only chayiv one for the package. S'tam alomar lo yachal rechayim v'arachev. Ma rechayim v'arachev. Shehen miyuchadin shnei kelim v'yosim alacha achas. Just like they are two kelim. Two physical utensils, but they perform one function together. V'chayev al zeb ifnei atzmo, v'al zeb ifnei atzmo, and you're chayev on each and every one of them. So av kol devarim she'en shnei kelim miyuchadim. So to any object which is made up of two different parts, they're two kelim miyuchadim. V'yosin malacha achas, and they perform one function together. Chayev al zeb ifnei atzmo, v'al zeb ifnei atzmo. You're chayev on each and every one. So you see from the second brisa that we're comparing rechayim barachev to Zug Shel Saparim and these other Kalim. So once you see that they're compared, so now go back to the first Brisa, when it says that if you use any one of these Kalim, you only have one and not two. So that's a Raya to Rav Yehuda. So you put these two Brises together. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. That's how it is a Raya. The little controversy here is that we know, as we have been talking about, the Issa Daraisa is when I take clay Ochal Nefesh, when I take Kalim that are connected to the kitchen somehow. A barber's scissors is not really connected to the kitchen. Yes, you could use a barber's scissors, you know, to cut chicken if need be. Let's say if it's not a specific type of scissors, right? We know on Shabbos, a kli shem lachta l'isser. A scissors is a kli shem lachta l'isser. It's not muksa mamish because you could use it to cut something mutter on Shabbos, but it is a little unusual that's the example given. So again, Rashi says it's zuk shel saparim. If you look in the Rush here, the Rush has a different girsa. The Rush's girsa is, I read the lashon. He says, "Rabbeinu Tamzal lo gar zuk shel saparim deino sin bochal nefesh." You don't use it for the kitchen. V'im mipreisha mistachren bo v'koni b'schar ochal nefesh. Oh, well, a barber makes money and he can take the money to the store and buy food, right? So doesn't that make it like kalim of ochal nefesh, like connected to food preparation? Says the Rabbeinu Tam, then every single thing in the world, anytime you use any kli for any occupation, it could be called ochal nefesh. Because you're going to make some money to be able to buy food in the store. So that can't be. Imkin kola kalim nami. What's the answer? Rashi might say the chanami. Rashi would say, you look in the Chiddush Iran. Chiddush Iran here says, yes, any type of clay umnis that a person uses specifically to make money for his occupation might be extended called Klei Ochel Nefesh. Again, it's not going to be Ochel Nefesh for Hilchas Yontif. You know, I'm allowed to go to work today because I can make money in order to prepare food for Yontif. Chas v'shalom. Right? No, but in terms of this, the whole thing is about a mashkon, your personal needs, the ani's personal needs. So then you can be a little more flexible in terms of your Klei Ochel Nefesh. But the Rabbi Nutam, quoted here in the Rush, has a different girsa. Vigore Zugshel Misparim Velohu Tisporas Shagozes in Boyarak. A vegetable scissors. Right, not a barber scissors. A vegetable scissors. Inami Shagozen Bo Besa Shchita or a Shchita knife. Right, one of the two. One of the types of blades which is more connected to food directly, says Rabbeinu Tam here, quoted in the Rush. But again, the Chiddush Ran says otherwise. I'll just read you that Lashon of the Ran. What the Ran says, when he quotes Rashi, and then he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, V'zeh olo l'fi mashak asamnu, shekli umanuson shel umanin, dinon kekli she'osu ve'nochol nefesh. Any type of utensil used in people's work, so that would be enough to be called ochol nefesh. That's regarding the Zug Shel Saparin. The other line is also, Tzemet Shel Paros, the burden, the yoke that goes on the back of cows, that also has the problem. Why would that be called a kli ochel nefesh? So you look in Rashi. Rashi's a semich al look at Tosus semich al paros pirish bakutris beis paros choshos im simdam the einir lari the paparos lo mairi. I don't know. We're not talking about cows. We're talking about the kitchen. So again, also Tosus argues, and he would have to come up with a different shot, something connected more to the direct kli ochel nefesh context that the Torah discusses. Okay, so that was a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, again, about one of the five Yisurim. We started off a couple of days ago. Remember, this parak has the three different topics. We had the beginning of the parak, Kuf Gimel, that was the beginning of the Kavonis and Chakiris. Then we have Kuf Yud. Kuf Yud and Abayis is the beginning of the discussion of paying one's workers on time. And then we just have the Sigyus of Mashkon, based on this last Mishnah that we started on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Kuf Gimel, Kuf Yud, and Kuf Yud Gimel are the three topics as we continue now in this third topic. Story. Ha'u gavra d'chalasakina d'ashkavta mechavre. A person took a mashkon illegally against halacha, a certain type of knife. Sakina d'ashkavta. So again, what is this? So again, all of these parallel machlokas we've shown him. Rashi says, Sakina dashkafta, it's a type of knife that you cut meat with. Okay, that's good. So that even, according to Rashi, seems to be pretty clear. So, Mechavra, and he took it. So, he took it illegally. So, he goes to Abaya. So, Amalei Abaya says to him, Zilahadre, give it back. Go give back the knife. Tahavile klesha osin bochal nefesh. Give back your owed money. Okay, but you weren't allowed to take this from his house. Right, give back the knife, because it's a klisha osin bo ochel nefesh. Vita kum vidina ala. And then, go do it, bring him to a din Torah. You can't keep this knife. You have to give it back, you took it illegally. And then you can bring it to a din Torah. And, to do what at the din Torah? Look at Rashi, last skinny line, and first wide line. Vita kum vidina, tav'ehu ledin achovcha. Right, bring tovea him. Im odelecha, maybe he'll admit to you he owes it. O im yesham edim, or there are edim that he owes yishalim. If he admits, hodas baldin, or there are edim, then he's going to have to pay you. V'im lav, yishavash v'asasas. And if not, at least, he's kofar bakol, he denies everything. At least, he will have to take a shvuas hasas. He shvua to pater himself in the least. That, again, has come up a number of times in the Masechta. The sugi of shvuas hesis, it's a separate category of shvua. We know there are really three categories of shvuas in the halacha. The three shvuas, daraisa, nishba v'niftar, shvuas mod, and each one of them has come up somewhere in this Masechta. Shvuas mod v'miksas, shvuas eid echad, and shvuas hashomrim. All those three. I swear and I'm pater. I swear against an eid echad, I swear I'm a shomer. And then you have the second category of all the nishba v'notels. This main sugya being the Mishnayis and Masechta Shvuas, all the nishba v'notels, which we just had one a few dafim ago, about a worker is able to swear and collect his wages when the employer says, I already paid you. Halacha says, no, he's tarred b'palav, and we trust the worker. And category three is Shvuas Hesis. It's the only Shvua d'Rabbanan that's a nishba v'niftar, and it's even formulated in the Rambam based on the Gemara as a separate category. And it might even be, as some Rishonim suggest, it wasn't even around in the times of the Tanoim. It was a later Takanas Amoraim from Rav Nachman of Shuas Hesis. But that's what Rashi quotes here, that's what he would be able to do if he is Kofer Bakol. So that's what Abaya tells him, you know, go and you're going to have to give it back. Remember, even before we get to the Rava who argues on Abaya, Tosfos on yesterday's daf understood Abaye in a certain way. Remember, Tosa said yesterday's daf asked the question, do you get Malkus for this Avera? If I take a mashkon illegally, either I took it because I went into the guy's house, or I took it forcibly, or I took something that I'm not allowed to take, or the different halachas. So is that their Malkus? The Gemara seems to say, yes, there's Malkus. Yesterday's Gemara, how many Malkus do I get? Ask Tosis, it's a lav anita glase. It's a lav that there's a way to solve the problem. So why would you get Malkus? Tosis is kasha, on the bottom of kuftes vav and aleph. Why would you, what's the whole issue of Malkus? And don't say that, oh, it's a case where you lost it or it broke, because then you have to pay for it. So lav anita l'tashlumin. So at the end of that Tosis, look at the end where Tosis went over of kuftes vav and aleph, Tosis says, and where did he know lav anita glase from? From this line that we just read, Abaya. Abaya says, give it back. That's his raya, that you have to give it back. So that's what Tosfos suggested at the end of the Tosfos. V'yesh lomar, de taima, de abaya, de omar leila, adure mishum, de yavid lo mahani. This is Abaya Lashitaso, who says if you violate something from the Torah, doesn't work. You have to give it back. Kivan, shahaya, shogeg. Because he didn't know. Shem haya yodea shuasar, lo ayachovlo. If he would have known, he wouldn't have taken it. It's like you took it mistakenly. Well, it's clear from Tosfos. If your mamish did it on purpose, but maybe you wouldn't have to give it back. Right? That's why it's not a labanita glase, and that's why you would get malchus. That was Tosfos, that was the discussion. But that's what, how Tosfos understands this Gemara, that it was by accident. And that's why Abaye says, give it back. Give it back as a kli. She'osin bo, ochal nefesh. Rava amar, Rava says, no. Lo tzarech lamekem betina Allah. Rava says, no, you don't have to do that. V'yachol liton ad kidei demehen. You could at least say, how much is this mashkon worth? Whatever the mashkon is worth, you can at least hold it for that value. No, you have that, you took it, maybe you took it illegally, but you can at least hold it since you took it. And there are no edim that you took it. You're allowed to hold on to it up until the value. Why? So this is based on the principle of migu. Migu, what is migu? I could have said a better taina. So believe me on this worst taina. There are no edim that I took this from your house. So I admit that I took it. I could have just said I bought it. I could have just said it's mine. So because I could have said that, says Rava, so that is why I'm at least allowed to hold on to this mashkon up until the amount of the mashkon, part of the chov. Right, that's l'chalitton ad kedei demayan. Rashi says, right, kivan, hayayachol lit'on l'kucha hu biyadi, I could have said I bought it, lo tzorach l'mekem bedina alai, dekanalei mashkon lishava, v'litol ad kedei dama. Right, that's Rava. It doesn't say the words in the Gemara here, but all the Rishonim discuss it. This is based on the sugya of migu. Right, because he could have just said, I bought it, he's allowed to hold it, for at least that amount. 2 points, and then we'll continue. First, Tosfos points out here in the tiny little Tosfos, Kalim shows him an ochal nefesh, nira liri, dafka kalim, aval ochlin atzman mutter lachbol. Somewhat ironic, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this Tosfos. You're not allowed to take kalim that could create ochal nefesh. What about food itself? Could I go and take his milk and orange juice and cookies? Am I allowed to take that? Says Tosfos, yes. The only, well, and remember, this Tosfos says, and the Shulchan Aruch explains this, Shulchan Aruch and Simon Sadi Zion, that's the big Simon all about these halachas and Choshe Mishpat. Because Ochel Nefesh is, he has enough food. You're not allowed to take his only food that he has. Remember, everything here we're talking about is as long as you left him enough to last for a certain amount of time. That's what we had a few days ago, Misadrin Labal Chov. You have to leave him with what he needs for, let's say, a month, and anything beyond that you're allowed to take. So now he has enough food for a month. You're talking about going into his freezer and taking his frozen meat that he was going to use next month, that he happened to be in the store, and it was cheap. So says Tosfos, says the Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to take. He doesn't need that right now. And you're leaving him the food preparation kalim that he can make more food with. Food doesn't produce food. And therefore, says the Sma, and Shulchan Aruch explains this Tosfos, that's why it's not a problem. Because food is just, it ends. It can't produce anything else. So taking food is not ending off any process. Kalim of ochel nefesh are worse. And that's why clay ochel nefesh, you're not allowed to take, but the food themselves, one is allowed to take. Okay, so machlokes, Abaya, and Rava, whether we would apply the case of, the context of migu here. Abaya seems to say, no, Abaya says that you have to give it back, and Rava said, no, you could keep it, because you could have had a better claim. That's the question of migu.
That means with the same migu even outside of Bezdin.
Is he functioning like a Bezdin? Is he functioning with the ne'emanus or at least he has the ne'emanus of amigu, saying, does only Bezdin use the principle of amigu? But here he's paskening. He's paskening based on it. So he's the dayan that they came in front of. Okay, let's just read the whole Gemara. I guess there's so much to say about amigu here that the Rishonim discuss. But first, let's read the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Abaye lesli ha'svara. Abaye doesn't hold to this. Abaye doesn't say that you have a principle of, oh, I could have said I bought it. And therefore, believe me with my worst claim. Maishno, what about the following case from Baba Basra? What about those goats? Those goats that ate barley in a hardah. Reuven's goats ate Shimon's barley. And now Shimon grabs Reuven's goat. Right? And I'm keeping this until you pay me back the barley that you ate. And the machlokis is only how much barley was eaten. Reuven admits that his goat ate some of Shimon's barley. But the machlokis is how much. And Shimon's holding on to the goat. And he's saying, well, I'm holding on to the goat until I get as much as I say that it was eaten. So here again, Shimon could say, there are no edim that the goat went in and he grabbed it. So he could say, it's my goat. So v'yomar avu ad Shmuel, yocholito narkadei demei. And there Shmuel says, and nobody argues, that there you can have the claim of Migu. Migu, he could say that it's his goat, so he could say, your goat ate this much barley. So there Abaye agrees. So why does Abaye say in our case that he took the klei ochel nefesh? There we say he doesn't have the migu. Well, in our case he has the migu. Well, in the case of the goats he has the migu. So the Gemara says there's a difference. What type of items are we talking about? Hasam lav midi da'avda la'oshle ulogurehu. Says the lav midi da'avda ulogurehu. Over there, it's not something that is usually lent out. People don't lend their goats out. And therefore, if you have it, there's a good chance that you bought it. If you don't say that you bought it, okay, so we're going to give you extra believability. But here, by Kalim of Ochel Nefesh, everybody lends them out. The fact that you have it is not such a big raya that you bought it. That's a weaker claim. It's a weaker migu. Maybe it's not even a migu. Hacha midi da'avid la'oshule ulogurehu. Here is something that's normally lent out, and therefore, that's why we're not going to say he has the strong claim of Migu that he could have said, I bought it. Right? That's why we're not going to say that. Deshalach, let's just finish the line. Deshalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, because after Rav Huna Bar Avin says, Dvarim ha asuyin lahashilu lahaskir, anything that is normally lent out or rented out. V'yamalakuchin ein biyadi, and the person says, well, I bought it. They don't have money. He's not believed. Because there's a good chance that it's they didn't buy it. Right, he rented it or he borrowed it, period. There is an interesting line in the Rambam. The Rambam says there are two Lashonos used in Shas. This line right here, Dvarim sha'asuyin lahashil lahaskir, things that are, take it literally, translate the words, that are made, asuyin lahashil lahaskir, says the Rambam. The Rambam is very, very emotional about this. Al tit'eh, says in Hilchas Toim v'Nitan, not such a common Rambam. Again, the Rambam's yard site was this week. Ches tes. Al titeh bein dvarim ha'asuyin lahashu lahaskir l'dvarim shedarkan lahashu lahaskir. Kemo sheta'u rabim v'gdolim. Don't make a mistake that many people have made a mistake. The difference between things that are normally rented out or borrowed or things that are made to be rented and borrowed. There's a difference between the two. Shekol ha'dvarim, because as the Rambam, everything in the world can be ra'uy and ragil that people lend out. Right, call that dvarim ruuyin lahashil v'darkan lahashil. Afilu chalukah shel adam umatzo umitaso. People lend out clothes and mattresses and beds. Avol dvarim ha'asuyin lahashil lahaskir. But things that are made, that are when they're created. So then, hey makelim shebnei osa medina osan osam mitchilas asiyasan kedei lahashilan ulahaskiran v'litos scharan. Things that the country makes in order to rent out. Iker asiyas elu kelim eina lamechiras atzmon v'lo l'shtamish bohen balabayis bebeiso el hashilan lacherim kedei lahenos kenegdon. So the Rambam is very strong about the difference between asui lahashil lahaskir and rugil lahashil lahaskir. And the Ravid doesn't know what he's screaming about. So I understand. The Ravid says, kol has haros v'yaz, all these warnings that the Rambam gives, I don't know what he's so machmed about. He says it's the same thing. The people lended it out. Doesn't matter if it was made for this or not. So interesting what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is between the Rambam and the Ravid. But we'll leave that for now. Let's start with the Ran. The Ran says here, in the name of the Gaonim, the Ran says, even according to Rava, who says you have a Migu here, it's not a super duper migu that has full believability, and he just collects. What does that mean? He says, "V'chi amrina diyachol litdon," that which Rava says that he has the migu here. Oh, he could have said, "I bought it," so he's believed to say that I took it as a mashkon. Kasvo agaonim sheino neman ela b'shvua chamura. You still have to swear. You still have to have a nishma of an otel. Why? Or he's holding the mashkon, so might little be about. Well, let me take that back because he's going to talk about it. The time of the milsa gives two reasons. Two reasons why this migu is not super duper strong. Number one, this is a migu de ha'aza. What does it mean? There are 10 different permutations in the world of migu. What's migu de ha'aza? Ha'aza means brazen. It's a migu that is weaker because it's somewhat of a brazen statement. What does that mean? So that's a machlokas rishonim. We had it in Rashi and Tosas back all the way 114 daf ago. Back on daf gimel, we discussed this. Migu de ha'aza. Rashi says, I won't lie in front of somebody who did me a favor. Right? So I wouldn't want to. You did me a favor. I'm not going to go against you and make up a whole story. So that doesn't apply here. Then this would not be a migu de ha'aza. Because the malveh didn't do, the lova didn't do the malveh a favor. We're talking about the malveh lying. Every took the mashko. The lova didn't do anything for the malveh. But Tosva says, migu de ha'aza means you wouldn't lie in front of someone who you know knows the truth. So that applies here. So that's why the Ran, according to that Svara, that applies here. The Ran says that that is why this is a weaker type of migu. You know, sometimes the other guy has no idea. No idea. Doesn't know what happened. So if I have a taina and I could have had a stronger claim, so then I say it's a very strong migu. But here he knows exactly. He knows whether I lent him the money. He knows how much. So that's why it's a migu to ha'aza, number one. And number two, he says, lefishahu notel. Vein lecha notel ala b'shvua. This is a migu lahotzi. And that itself is a major machlokas rishonim. The Ran says, it's not enough. Migu lahotzi is not enough by itself. You also have to take a shvua. Migu lahachzik. Migu to hold on to money, that's one thing. But migu lahotzi is more chamer. That is the Ran's two. Each one of those is a major sugya in the world of migu. Tosis himself, we'll get to this in a couple of minutes, on the bottom also talks about migu lahotzi. So we'll talk about that lambda soon, but first let's continue the Gemara now. So says the Gemara. Again, there's so much here, but we'll see at the end if there's time to come back to some of these ideas. The Shach, by the way, in Simon Pei Beis and Chosha Mishpat, feels the need to write four pages about Migu. Klale Migu. He doesn't have too many klalim of any most topics, right? We have Kuntras Dina de Garmi of the Ramban. He has a whole sefer on Garmi. And the Shach has whole four pages, and all the Achronim talk about that Shach, all the rules and regulations of Migu. Klale Migu. He talks about. He also has Klale Sveksveika. He has a few klalim that of the major topics that he feels the need. Okay, let's continue. Let's finish up the parak. Says the Gemara, the Rava Lesli Hai Svara. Rava does not believe in this Svara. What svara? Of there's a difference between different types of kalim. Rava says, oh, you can always trust that the migu works. But what do you mean? If something is normally lent out and borrowed, then maybe he shouldn't have such a claim. So for Rava, Leslie, hi svara. Vihara Rava himself, Rava afik. Rava made someone take out. Afik, zuga de sarbala, the sifra da gadata miyasmi. He was motzi. Again, a zuga de sarbala, some type of misparayim, scissors that are used to cut wool, the sifra da gadata, and svarim of agada, from yesomim, from orphans, bidvarim ha'asuyin lahashu lahaskir, things that are normally lent out or rented out. Right? If the person says, I lent this to your father, and now the yesomim say, I have no idea, so Rabbi was motzi then. So you see, things that are normally rented or lent out, you don't say that it's automatically theirs. So Rava himself holds of that. Answer, Amalacha Rava, Hainami, Kivan, Dimei, Pagma, Kapti, Inshi, Velo, Moshli. Here, because a knife, it depreciates. It gets nipped over time. And therefore, people don't lend this out. We're talking about a knife, we're not talking about any type of kli. We're talking about a shchita knife. Or some type of cutting knives. Therefore, this is not the type of kli that will be lent out. Tosvos discusses here. So, what about books? You lend out books. You don't lend out books. Do people lend out books or not? Sometimes you see in the Beis Medrash. Aser lish tamish bali rishus. People are very machmed about their svarim. Or mutar lish tamish, but don't tell an amas. What do we say? Let's say in the big discussion. Somebody has a sefer in shul. Am I allowed to look at somebody else's sefer in shul without permission? Oh, he would let me. Or would he let me? What if he would? What if I don't, I have no idea who he is? So Tosfos discusses here on the bottom. The Gemara here quotes Sifrei Da'agadata as things that are normally lent out. So is that really true? Did people lend out Svarim? Tosfos says on the first wide line, V'im Tomar, Tohacha Mashma, Desvarim, Asuyin Lahashul Haskir, Afilo Sifrei Da'agadata. Right? Even Hagadata Svarim, Kol Shekain Shar Svarim. We'll get back to that Kol Shekain. But I'm surely other Svarim, Kidam Rebik Subis, like it says in Subis, V'sid Kaso, Medes La'ad, Zakosi Svarim, Amashil Nacherim. It's a great thing. But as Tosfos and Kasha, we learned it then, the Baba Kama, right? The case of, you go into somebody's house, and you see on his bookshelf, you see your set of Svarim. You see, because somebody has stolen it from you, and then sold it, and now this guy bought it. Rachman al-Azhan, after the Holocaust, there were stories like that. People went in, and the Nazis took it, and somebody else, what if it has my name in it? Do you say there was Yeush? So Tosfos says, if you look at that Gemara, it sounds like they're not Asuyin Lahashul Lahaskir. And a person would be believed. I could have said I lent it to you. So, why don't you say a migu over there by the case of Svarim? So Tosfos quotes two deis on the third and the second to last line. First Tosfos quotes, V'niril Arbeinu Tam, Tahasam Ayri B'makirin, She'ein Bala Svarim Ragil Lahashil. Right, you're right. Really, Svarim are normally lent out. But that case is talking about a case where we know the guy doesn't lend out a Svarim. We know he's very, very makpid. He doesn't let anything out of the house. Maybe he's had bad experiences in the past. So, number one. And then number two, Ulamori Rav Dodi, Nireh, not such a common one of the Bali Atosis, Demigu Lahotzi, Lo Amrinan. There's that Yisod again. Tosfos says, Amigu, you say Lahachzik, Amigu, to hold on to your property. But Amigu, that Ne'eman is to be Motzi from others, so that is not so clear. So that is a major Machokas Rishonim. How strong is Migu? Is Migu even believed Lahotzi to take out, to override the Cheskas Mamon, or not? Right, the first day of Tosfos, the Shach, doesn't seem to say, either says Migu Lahotzi Amrinan, or says this is not Amigu Lahotzi. Right, one of those two answers. What's the svara? Why would you say Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan or not? So we discussed this way back on the first mission of the Masechta. Right, remember we had two people, Shai Chochel Matalis. So some of the first mission spoke about, well, he could have tied it this, he could have tied it as all mine, and he said it's only half mine. So there also we discussed the issue of Migu Lahotzi, and the Kutchese Shiurim Rav Gusman said there in the first piece in Bamatsia, he says, to explain a machlokas, which we're not going to get back into now, well, maybe the question is, what's the rule? You only say Migu Lahachzik, or you don't say Migu Lahotzi? Because sometimes you'll have a case in the middle. What if you're both holding on to the same item? So that's not Lahotzi, and that's not Lahachzik, or it's a little of both. Right? So what do you say? So maybe that's part of the issue. Rav Gusman says in the first piece in Kutchas HaShiurim, whether the rule is you don't say Lahotzi, or you do say Lahachzik. Right? And whatever is not that, then that would be okay. If you look in various achronim also, there are different svaras why you wouldn't say Migu Lahotzi. Right? The most obvious sefer, most obvious svara is Cheskas Mamon. Cheskas Mamon beats Migu. Migu is not so strong. It's a certain emanus, but the Kso says in Simen Pei Beis, Sivkatun Yud Aleph, that the Cheskas Mamon is too strong for a Migu, and we wouldn't be able to use it. The other svara given, again, very similar, is Migu isn't a Vadai. Right? Migu at most is a strong suffix. Right? Maybe it's like a rove. We also aren't Motzi Mamon based on rove. Ein Hochen b'mamon achah rove. So too Migu is not a din Vadai, it's a din suffix. So it's not going to be strong enough to be Motzi. Okay, there's more, but we'll have to leave it for now. Okay, Rabosai, let us get into the last perek in Maseches Baba Metzia as we get into the last three blot of Maseches Baba Metzia. Habayis v'ha'aliyah. So we continue the issues of interpersonal relationships between partners, between employers and employees, and now we have between tenants and landlords. Says the Mishnah. Habayis v'ha'aliyah shoshnayim. You have a house, two stories. Two-story house. one person, right, Rashi says, it's talking about two brothers, Shnei Achim Shechilku. Either way, it's two different people, right? Two brothers that split. One is living downstairs, one is living upstairs. And the question is that the house fell down, and now you have all of the raw materials lying on the ground. You have the rocks and the wood and... So who owns all of this? You don't know whose wood was whose and whose rocks was whose, right? The first floor walls belong to the Reuven, and the second story belong to Shimon, but you don't know which ones. And some of the rocks are broken, and some of the rocks are whole. So everybody's saying, I want the whole rocks. And the other ones are saying, no, they're mine. So how do you know? So Abayis Valdiya Shoshayim Shenaflu, Shem Chalkin, Be'etzim, Uba Avanim, Uba Afar. So you split it. You split it. You have no choice. You split it. If you look in the Tosefta here, in the back, the Tosefta quotes a halacha that the Rishonim had Rashi saying the opposite halacha. Our Rashi doesn't say anything. Our Rashi, we don't have it. But if you look at the Tosefta in the last parak, the Tosefta says, Bamed, Varam Amurim, when do you say that you split it equally between the first story and the second story guy? Bizman Shah Yushavin. If the height of the floors were the same. So there's the same amount of material. They're both 10 feet, so it's going to be split equally. But what if the second story was much taller than the first story? Or the vice versa? So then would you split it based on percentage? That's what the Tosefta says. Avalim echad mehem gadol ve'echad katan, zenot elafi shalow, v'zenot elafi shalow. V'ronis el yonis kilu heruizli shaver. So that's the Tosefta. You only split it equally if they had equal apartments. But if one was a taller apartment or a wider apartment, right, whatever, so then you would split it based on percentage. So the Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Ran quote Rashi as saying exactly the opposite. And they wonder, like, doesn't the Tosefta make sense? And the Rashi is against the Tosefta. Right? Why would you say that if one owns a larger percent, one has a bigger apartment, a taller apartment, he's going to get less, he's still going to get equal material. So the Ran quotes this Rashi, and he explains, V'yeshli Lomar, let me explain Rashi. The Hakamai Skinan, one is taller than the friend, but you don't know which one was taller. That's what the case is of Rashi. They're each saying, mine was taller. You're right, if we know whose was taller, of course Rashi would agree. But you know why Rashi doesn't say that case? Because that's obvious. That's obvious. That couldn't be the case in the Mishnah. So the case is, one was bigger, Elosh Einonu Yodinim El Yonim Tachton, the Kolachad Omer Shali Ayagavoa. And each one says his mind. And that's why you split it equally, because you have a choice. You're right, one was bigger, but you don't know. That's why you say Yachloku, even in that case. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, according to the Ran's version of Rashi. So, back to the Mishnah. So you split it equally. Veroin Elu Avanim Ho'asuyas L'shtaver. And you see these stones as ki'ilu, that are made to break. What does that mean? Rashi quotes three words about the 10th skinny line in Rashi. Hakol Lefi Hamapolis. The Gemara is going to say this also. But the Gemara is going to say, a building could fall down two ways, Rahman al-Islam. Either it could fall down, like the bottom floor could just like sink in, like Yericho, kind of, and then the walls would sink in, and then everything like falls on top of each other. If that happens, then you know it's the bottom ones that are the broken ones, and the upper ones are the whole ones. But if the building falls down like sideways from a wind, we're not talking about like buildings like we have today, but if it falls sideways, then Mistama, the top ones are the ones that broke. Because they're the ones that fell from a higher height. And the bottom ones probably just rolled over and they're still whole. So you have to know exactly how it fell down. Im haya echad mehen makir mixas avanav. And if one of them recognizes some of his stones, notzlan, he could take them. But all the stones are cheshbon. And that goes into the cheshbon. We'll see what that line means, Beit Hashem, in the Gemara. So first the Gemara says, midiktani rowin, for the fact that it says, we view the stones, how it fell, michlal, de'ikal, make them alayu. Sounds like you can know how it fell. So if you can know how the building fell, so why do you split everything equally? Ibachavsa nafal, if it fell from pressure, meaning it fell in on itself, ibachavta nafal, or if it fell like to the side from the wind. Ihachi resha maichalkin. If you know exactly how it fell, so why should you split it equally? Right, if it fell sideways, then the bottom guy should get the whole stones. If it fell in, then the top guy should get the whole stones. Right, not the broken ones. So the Gemara says, Nechzi, Ibachavta nafal, aliasa isbar. If it fell sideways, then the upper ones broke. Ibachavsa nafil, tasiasa isbar. Right, if it fell in on itself, it just collapsed. Then some of the bottom ones were so weak, they broke, and that made the whole thing collapse. So lo tzricha d'nafam alalia, it fell in at night. We don't know how it fell down. So look in the morning, look and examine. Right, you can examine the stones and know how it fell. Dipaninu, no, they've already been cleared away. Go ask the construction workers. You know, how was it? Dipaninu b'nei rishos harabim v'adu la'alma. You know, people just were going to work. They had to clear the area. They weren't focusing. They just moved the stuff away. And now you're stuck. Now you don't know. The evidence was tampered with. And therefore, what are you supposed to do? Nothing to do. So Gemara says, okay, that didn't work. V'lechzi b'rishus deman yasvin. See whose property it's sitting in right now. V'lehave idach hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. So why don't you go see where it is now, and then we'll have regular cheskas mamon. Whosever's property it is, it's mine unless you prove that it's not mine. Lo tzricha deyasvin b'chatzer detravayu. The answer is, you're right, it's in neither property. Maybe it's in both of their properties, inami b'rishus harabim, or it's still in the street. The people in the street moved it to the street, so there's no cheskas mamon. Or, the bayasema shutfin b'chiyai gavna lo kapti adati. Or, in this case, even if it's in one person's rishus, there is no cheskas mamon because they're not makbid on each other. This is a yesod. It's quoted right here in the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted here in the Ramban and others. The rule is, if you have two partners, even if one of them owns one area, and the other one owns the other area. But if they're partners, everybody knows they're partners, then just because something is in one of their properties is not a raya that it belongs to that partner. If it's the type of partners that are makbid on each other, you can keep my stuff in your thing, and vice versa. And that is a general halacha of shutfin, says the Rabbeinu Chananel, quoted right here in the Ramban. Meaning, even though there's no kinyan done, there's no specific kinyan, but that is a yesod. Shamina mina. You have to know exactly how far that extends, but that is the rule right here. Period. So if one of them recognizes their stones, so then you give it to them. So what does the other guy say? One guy says, oh, these are mine. So what does the other guy say? E to kamar in. If he says, yeah, I agree with you, so pshita, then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? V lo amar in, and if he says he's not agreeing, so lamanota, why does the guy get to take it? Right? He says, oh, these are my stones. He doesn't have any proof. And the other guy saying, no, it's not your stones. El da amar le niode must be saying, I don't know. One guy says, these are my stones, these are my whole stones, and the other guy says, I don't know. So what is that? Bari Vishema? So the Gemara says, Leimet Devi Tiyufta de Rav Nachman. That must be a Kashan Rav Nachman. Inmar, Rav Nachman said, we have this already. Manali Biyatcha, Vahalo Omer, Vahalo Omer Niyodeya. Right, you owe me 100? He says, I don't know. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayiv. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochan, Amri Pater. Right, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say, Bari Vashem, Bari Adif. And Rav Nachman says, no. So is our Mishnah against Rav Nachman? If our Mishnah is about a case of Bari Vashem, Rav Nachman says, you're Pater. And the Mishnah says, Chayiv. Answer, no. We also said this just a couple of days ago, right? Sadi Zion. Kidda'am, Rav Nachman, kagon sheish esek shvua b'neihem. Just like Rav Nachman said elsewhere. We'll give it a kimto, we'll come up with a case where there's a shvua daraisa involved. Hachanaim, kagon sheish esek shvua b'neihem. The case is a shvua daraisa, meaning he says, these are my stones, and the other guy says, you know what? Half of these stones, I agree with you, they're yours. And the other half, I'm not sure. So that's the case of modim b'miksas. That he's chayav shvua daraisa, and he's saying any odeya. So what do we say there? Hey chidami esek shvua, k'derav as follows. Da'ma rava, amar li biyad chaval omer in the chabiyad yale chamishim. I only owe you 50, not 100. V'hashar any odeya. I don't know about the other 50. Mitoch she'en yochol li shava, mishalim. That's the sheet, the din of mitoch, where we will say that he has to swear, but he can't swear, so he has to pay. That's what Rav Nachman would say. That's the case of our Mishnah as well. But really, if it was just the case of Bari Vishema, you would say Pater. Period. Finishing up, V'yolos lo min ha-cheshbon, and if he identifies some, it counts in the cheshbon. Which cheshbon? Remember, we split up, the Mishnah said, we split up equally, meaning we can split up the whole stones equally and the broken stones equally. But now we just said, oh, but if he identifies some of his whole stones, that counts. That counts for what? Says the Gemara. Sava Rava Lameh Rava thought, Lefi Cheshbon Shmuros. Rava thought to say, well, he's going to get whole stones instead of broken stones, right? And then he'll end up getting more. Alma, Kima Damar Eni Odea Re'atvei. Because the other guy says, I don't know. So he's on his Yodo Al Hatachtona, so to speak. The other guy has the upper hand. So Amalei Abaya Adrava, Abaya says you can think about logically just the opposite. Hoy Reya Tvei, the guy who says these are my stones are worse. Why? Midahani Yada. from the fact that he knows, says, these are mine, tve lo yada. So he doesn't know any of the others. The rest are not his. Su leslei. So it must be that he doesn't have any more. V'idach kulu dechninu. So the other guy should take all the other whole stones. Because the first guy only said, these are mine. So doesn't that make it worse for him? You know, you think it's better, but it's really worse. So El Amar Abaya, different understanding. Lefi cheshbon shlemos. No. He gets whole stones, part of the cheshbon of the whole stones that he's supposed to get anyway. So he gets these specific whole stones. Yachi Maika Mahani Le. So what good was his taina? So the answer is, he wanted specific ones. Lemilbana Ravcha, because some of the stones are wider, they have a wider frame. So he wants those. Inami Tina de Ma'abda, it came from highly processed clay. So Lemaisa, he doesn't get any more whole stones than he was going to get in the first place. But he gets specific ones that he claimed, because we're not sure. Because there's a reason to say he's having a better time, there's a reason to say he's having a worse time. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But we will continue with only 3 more days left of Maseches Bamitzia. And again, today's shiur was dedicated Leili Nishmas, Chana Bas Eliyo, Alei Hashalom, whose 25th yard site was on Shabbos, Tezayin Teves, sponsored by his son, Mr. Charles Meisels. We thank them for the sponsorship.